Good morning. I had to try the new stairs. Thank you to Roy for building these for us. He's been working on them for a while and got them up here, I think, in the last week or so. And it's great to have two options now. Occasionally I'll run across something like this that says it better than I can say it. And so I thought I would play that for you guys this morning. If you're in ministry, the week leading up to Mother's Day online is a litany of the good and the bad of Mother's Day. And I each year seem to see more and more articles and blogs and just thoughts about how maybe we should shy away from Mother's Day a little more than we do because it's hard for some people. And I just want to acknowledge that we understand within our audience, probably everyone we've seen up here in the video is represented. And then probably some others too, where some of us have experienced being given up by a birth mom and raised by somebody else. Some may have been in abusive households, and any number of other issues that come along with people. And we acknowledge that, but at the same time, I hope that we can see that I think in all of our lives, there is probably a woman or a lot of women who have made an impact on us, whether it be moms, grandmas, sisters, close friends and family. And this is a day to acknowledge that. And so we want to take the chance to do that here too. If you're visiting with us, and clearly several of you are, we're glad you're here. If you are in the greater Eugene metropolitan area of Springfield and Salem and Portland and San Francisco, if you want to come back anytime, feel free. We would love to have you any chance you get. We like having to get extra chairs out and things like that. Those are good days for us. We'll be in Exodus chapter 1 here in a second if you want to turn your Bibles there. Or if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen most of the morning. Exodus chapter 1. A couple other things to mention real quickly before we get started. If you came and got your picture taken over the last few days, thank you. If you didn't, we still love you. It's okay. But if you came and went through that like our family did yesterday, and then looked at a computer screen and said to yourself, wow, I really look like that, don't I? And looking for some sort of angle of view that looks just kind of okay, like I did, we appreciate you sacrificing and doing that. I think it will be very good for us to have a new directory as we have new folks that come along to help learn faces of who everyone is and put those faces with names and hopefully build relationships. I know it's a tedious chore to go through. I'm also very thankful to Denise and Darlene and others who have helped organize this over the last couple days and sign people in and learn about photo forms and all that stuff. But I think it will be good for us. And if you're wondering, sometime this summer is what I've been told, probably into July most likely, but they have to do all the editing and do everything that they do and then do printing. And I think we're supposed to get something to approve here in a few weeks and then it goes from there. So I figure sometime in July we'll start seeing pictures and directories and all that kind of thing. All right, Exodus chapter 1. I struggle a little bit with what to do with Mother's Day biblically because there are a lot of different options, but there are not a lot of just the mother's kind of verses. And I don't want to go to Proverbs 31 because everybody does that. And I mentioned that thought to my wife the other day, and she said, you know, for some people, you will look at Proverbs 31, and that is a pretty unattainable list, isn't it? And if you're not familiar with the chapter, read it on your own time later. But there's a lot of stuff about in there about what women and mothers are to be, and if you're all those things, then you should write the book by the time you're done, because it's tough, and there's a lot there. But I thought instead we'd look at the example of a couple women in Scripture, biblically, that might be an encouragement to us this morning. So we'll begin in verse 15. Now, to set the tone here, Genesis closes where Joseph has done some amazing things for the people of Egypt. Joseph has saved them from famine. He has stored up grain so that they can survive this famine. Joseph is not one of them. He came to them by slavery. And he came to them as a slave in the household of Potiphar. He found himself in jail for something he did not do at one point in all of this story. And then somewhere along the way, God helps to deliver him into the household of Pharaoh through all these amazing things. And he shows up with Pharaoh and explains Pharaoh's dream to him and then is given all this responsibility to help save the people of Egypt, which if we did all of these things today, I like to think there would be some sort of a monument to Joseph. He saved our people. And if you go to several places in our country, you will find monuments to different people that did incredible things. Instead, not too long after Joseph is gone, there at the end of Genesis chapter 50, they forget. They forget who Joseph is, they forget what he did for them, and Joseph's people, the Israelites, find themselves all as slaves of the Egyptians. And they are making bricks, and they are having a difficult life, and they are not people who are honored, they are people who have been forgotten and now enslaved. And this is where we find ourselves in chapter 1 of Exodus. Pharaoh is worried because there are so many of these Israelites out there that they may begin to overtake. And so he says, let's make sure as male children are born that they don't last. We're going to get rid of these male children. And he goes to the midwives who are helping in the delivery of these male children and says, let's not let the male children live. This is the command to you. So in verse 15, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose name were Shiphrah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. These midwives are met with a command that is just wrong. It's an immoral command. To think of as this life is coming into the world, the time of parents for months and months being excited about this new life coming, and then the life is there, and this midwife is now to make a decision that has been given to her by the king of Egypt, that if this is a male child, this child is not going to live. I wonder what we would do in that kind of situation. Now, I don't think that we will be faced with something like this. Now, maybe I see the world through rose-colored glasses, I don't know, and you never know what happens in the course of history. But I don't think we're faced with this kind of thing. What we usually are faced with is far, far lesser things. And too many times, the far, far lesser things that we are faced with, we take the easy way out. It's just simpler. It's simpler to tell the lie and get away with it. It's simpler to go along with that immoral, unethical thing your boss or somebody in your family has told you to do, and you just do it to go along. I remember when I was a kid, I lived in New Jersey until we were five, and we went to this drive-through safari thing. I hear there's one down south on the coast somewhere. We went to this drive-through safari thing, and we got to the place where you pay, and we drove the car up, and my mom rolls down the window in her 1977 Buick LeSabre, and they say to my mom, how old is your child who's in the back? I was four at the time. If you were three or under, you got in free. My mom said, he's three. And from the back, I said, I'm four. I have earned these 4 years. I'm proud of them. And I am here to announce to you that I am, in fact, four. And my mom does what moms do, is she's reaching, trying to make contact back there and shushing me. And the little attendant at the gate is laughing hysterically at the whole thing. And I think just for the entertainment, went ahead and let us through. And I thought to myself, even then I understood, I didn't know why I was being called three until later, once the window was rolled up and we were looking at camels and all that I wasn't supposed to say anything because it was free. But I'm four. I'm four. Shouldn't we think of the little things in life? This is such a bigger thing, where it is lives. And for these midwives who day after day will go in and deliver these children, day after day, this decision is there to be made. Now, I would argue with you that I think they probably make the decision pretty early on, and it's not a daily decision. It's a time where they sit down and they probably talk with one another and they probably talk with their God and realize that this is just not something that we can be a part of. So the midwives, in verse 17, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. They met this immoral command with a righteous and courageous action, something that we are called on to do every day. Now, ours generally are not this big, but they're still meaningful. They still matter. Those times where you have the opportunity to be honest when other people are not honest, people notice those things. Those times where you have the opportunity to not go along with what everyone else at your workplace is doing that is wrong toward the company. Those times when, if you have a job where you sit in a cubicle, and maybe we should have prayed for you in the video too, but if you, I had one of those jobs for a while, and I feel your pain. If you have a job where you sit in a cubicle, and the people two cubicles on either side of you are all not doing that job well, and they're all wasting an awful lot of company time, and you find yourself right in the middle of all that, frustrated, what do you do? Do you go along, or do you do what you know is the right thing to do? Do you do what God has put on your heart to be a Christian person in this world today? Too many times we are met with immoral options or immoral commands, and we have to decide what to do. And the question for us is, are we going to take the right and just and courageous action, or are we going to take the easy way out? Remember for a minute, these are not their children. These are other people's children. Now, I don't think that makes it any easier, but at the same time, you could rationalize away. You could rationalize away your life is in danger. You could rationalize away all the things that the Pharaoh might do to you, and yet they do what needs to be done. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." Now, first of all, I love their humor here. They could just say to Pharaoh, "We don't know what happened." And instead, it's almost this kind of smart aleck in the face of the king answer. Well, they're just, you know, they're not like your women. They give birth. We're not even there yet. And they, even though they did the right thing, are held accountable. And I think sometimes this is where we get off board with this whole thing sometimes. It's, if I do the right thing in the face of something difficult, then I want God then to reward me for that at that moment. If I stand up where others are not standing up, then I want everything from that point on to be easier. And I don't know how your lives have gone, but that doesn't usually happen for me. Now, every now and then, there's the feel-good moment, there's the somebody notices, and it's a good thing, and all of that. But too many times, even though you do the thing that is right, you're not met with excitement. You're not met with people waiting to pat you on the back, but still, you know you have done the right thing. Think of their feeling as they're called in before Pharaoh. Think of what must be going through their minds, wondering if they will come back out of that meeting alive. And yet still they know they have done the right thing, whatever it is that happens when they walk through those doors. Our decisions cannot be based on the fear of what's going to happen to us if we don't go along. Are we going to be godly, righteous people regardless of the situation, or are we just going to go along? So they're held accountable. So God was kind. So even though they don't have the kindness that you might want from a Pharaoh, wouldn't it be great to come back into that meeting with Pharaoh and for Pharaoh to say, you know, that edict I put down was just heartless, and I'm so glad you helped me see that. That's not Pharaoh. That's not what he does. But God is kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous, and because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. God blessed them. Now, our trouble here usually is we have a way in mind that God's supposed to bless us. Well, if I do this, then God should do this. Or sometimes, too often, we do the thing because we're wanting God to do that. It's almost as if we're bargaining with him. Well, if I do this, God, then you can do this for me. Isn't it interesting that even though we see that God blesses them and gives them children, where are they still? They're still slaves of Egypt. And we would probably not look at that as the positive situation. This should be everybody is now free, the kids are born, it's all good. And what they don't realize is God is working through towards his plan, just not necessarily at the pace and in the ways that they might see. But they are blessed with children. So Pharaoh gave this order to all the people. Verse 22, every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So let's be a little more specific here. If they're giving birth before you get there and it's too quickly, here's what's going to have to happen. That baby boy is born, throw that baby boy into the river. He was not convinced. Their adversary in this case was not changed. And so many times, I think when we do good, we do the right thing, we do the ethical thing, the courageous thing, we want people to be changed because of that. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes people are just difficult. Sometimes people can just be mean about life. And it can be very, very frustrating. I worked for a company at one point. I was doing insurance. It was terribly exciting. I printed bills and tore them off and sent them to people so they could get mad when they got the bills. Great fun. One point in the job, I found out that the company, because somebody was not doing things exactly the way they were supposed to be done, had lost $40,000. And it was put on me to figure out how to fix that. So I did. And in the midst of trying to fix the $40,000 problem, I found a $65,000 problem they didn't even know about. So in the course of about 10 days, I made the company $105,000, which would pay more than my salary for the entire time I worked there. Years. And I looked at that and I thought, I should be given a very nice office now at this point. I should be given a very comfy chair, maybe a longer lunchtime, raise, something. I got a thank you, a smile, handshake, and sent back to my cubicle between the two people that were not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It was unchanged. And now I'm not trying to say my boss was the adversary, by the way, but it was unchanged. I thought, because of these things I do, everything about life is going to change, and it doesn't sometimes. But do we stop doing the right thing because of that? Or do we continue to do what it is God has called us to do? Now a man, beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. And before we go on to the next verse, try to imagine that for a minute. This morning, I think, I heard a baby crying at one point in the thing we did in the gym earlier. And I thought, I remember back to the days where you have a baby and you're trying to keep that baby quiet. 3 months of hiding a newborn. 3 months of hiding a newborn before there's a department of things at Toys R Us that you can use to entertain that child, to try to plug their mouth and everything else. 3 months of time before it's mixing bottles of formula that you can pull out of the fridge and warm to the perfect temperature. 3 months of hiding this child who is not quiet, who does not sleep all the time. You think you're a tired mom. Imagine trying to keep that child hidden for 3 months, and yet she does. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Interesting to me in the course of this whole story that she actually does follow Pharaoh's command, by the way. She took the child and put it in the river. Not the way Pharaoh had in mind, but she took the child and she put it in the river. This is a mother's love in impossible circumstances. And I think we see this kind of thing around us a lot. We don't always acknowledge it. Maybe some of us have experienced it. But sometimes mothers love in a way that nobody else can. That's why we have this day to honor. The mother's love is something very, very different than any other kind of love that is out there. She loves this child so much that she is not content to let him die. She loves this child so much that she's not content to throw him in the river. She loves this child enough that she has this basket and puts him in, but is still not content just to let him go, and has his sister follow along and keep watch. Where is this baby going? She knows, just like the midwives knew, that there could be consequences for her if this is all traced back to her, and yet she knows what she must do. Mothers today are faced with impossible circumstances sometimes, whether it is illnesses of their own. I saw something online just the other day about someone I went to college with who has lymphoma. She has 3 children. She's 38. She's struggling, wanting to get through that for her kids. Sometimes it's the illnesses of a child. I had another video that I thought about, but I didn't want to be crying by the time I got up here. There's a baby who was born with trisomy 18, which is a genetic defect of some kind. And generally speaking, if these children are born live at all, they live a very short time and usually die that day or within a few days. This child lived for 99 days. And there's a great video online if you get a chance to watch about this baby. 99 days, every day, sometime during the day, they would celebrate his birthday. Because they didn't know how many of these days they would get, and they were pretty confident they would never see the actual birthday that most of us celebrate. They'd have cakes, they would have different things they would do, there would be balloons every day, and every day was a celebration of the life of this child. And then after 99 days, he was gone. They told his mother before he was born, he's not going to live. And if he does, it's not going to be very long, and it's going to be hard. And in impossible circumstances, she every day showed her love. Each of us have women in our lives that every day show us incredible love. And it's not always just the mom. Sometimes it's in different circumstances, sometimes a grandma, a sister, someone you're close to, but we have people that show us the kind of love that we see here. Then Pharaoh's daughter, verse 5, went down to the Nile to bathe. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, and God blessed her again. Could you imagine if you were the mother who is fighting for the very life of your child, hiding that child for 3 months, then setting that child in a basket in the river, just hoping he will live some kind of a life? Could you imagine that hours or days later, you are nursing your child at the command of the daughter of Pharaoh, who sent out that edict in the first place? You think God is not operating in our world when things like this come together? This story is too crazy to write down. And yet this is what happens in the life of Moses. And God blesses her because of this. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So not only does she get to have her child, nurse her child, she is paid to do it. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." God is going to bless his people because of these courageous, gutsy, willing to do the right thing, not willing to back down women. I read stories like this, and I know I've said this in here before, but I am amazed that anyone can read the Bible and think it's anti-woman. There are so many times that this story does not carry on without the women who are involved. The midwives have the courage to do the right thing, and because of that, babies continue to be born. And then Moses' mother has the courage to do what she knows is right, and because of that, the people are going to be delivered. And if you read through the rest of the book of Exodus, everything that happens all comes back to this. Without Moses being born, without his life being spared, these things do not happen in the way that they happen. And so over in Deuteronomy, and this is not on the slides this morning, over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 5, we have a listing of the Ten Commandments, and everybody knows several of those. Somewhere along the way, you have honor your father and mother, that we're good at times, and at other times, we've forgotten completely, I think. And then in chapter 6, after listing all these commands, we find, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength." And in the New Testament, we have added, "in your mind." In verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And do you want to know, generally speaking, in our homes, who is doing all these things? It's mom. It's grandma. It's that aunt that matters so much to you. The women in our lives have taken this to heart, that we're to talk about these things, teach our children about these things day to day as we walk along. And I hope that, like me, that you are thankful for that. I hope this morning that as you think about the women in your lives, that you may say a prayer of thanks for the ones who have gone on. And for the ones who haven't and who are still around, let them know. For the ones that you may have some conflict with or a grudge with or have a difficulty having that conversation, pick up the phone or go to their door and knock and talk. And let them know what they mean to you. I would imagine Moses lives the rest of his life knowing the story of his people, thankful for a mother who had the courage to put him in that basket. And because he is delivered, we see a story just like that in the New Testament that we talked about at Christmas time, where Mary comes along as a teenage girl, most likely in a very difficult situation, and because of her, the Son of God is brought into the world. And we find deliverance today. So this morning, if you're looking for that, if you need to take him on in baptism, if you'd like to become a part of his family, this is the time for that. Or if you would have something we could pray about, we'd be happy to pray about that. Or if this is something that is personal for you and you just need to, as we leave here today, go find that woman in your life and say thanks. And let them know how much you appreciate the things that they have done for you. Whatever need you may have this morning, come as we stand and sing.